Today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, but the Mass today is taken from the 6th Sunday after the Epiphany due to the way the liturgical calendar works this year. It is also the feast of St. Albert the Great, and he is the second commemoration in the Mass. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God for you all, making a remembrance of you in our prayers without ceasing, being mindful of the work of your faith and labor and charity, and of the enduring of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, for our gospel hath not been unto you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much fullness, as you know, what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in much tribulation, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were made a pattern to all that believe, in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you was spread abroad the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, which is towards God, is gone forth. So that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves relate to us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least indeed of all the seeds, but when it is grown up, it is greater than all herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in the branches thereof. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, until the whole was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke in parables to the multitudes, and without parables he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least indeed of all seeds, but when it is grown up, it is greater than all herbs, and becometh a tree. These words are taken from the Gospel for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in today's Gospel, St. Matthew relates 2 of our Divine Savior's parables. The parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the leaven. Throughout his public life, as you know, our Divine Savior made use of parables, or stories, to teach the faith to his hearers. And he did this because he knew that his truths were so sublime that they would be more easily grasped and understood when he presented them in the form of a parable. Now, in the parable of the mustard seed, our Lord compares the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. He explains that the mustard seed is the smallest and the most insignificant of all seeds, but that this seed, which is so small and weak, will mature and will become not only greater than all herbs, but it will actually grow into a mighty tree with strong branches. Now, while the meaning of this parable, according to the majority of saints and scripture scholars, pertains to the growth of the church on earth, the church which, like a mustard seed, had so small a beginning, but which over time grew to such a tremendous degree, while the meaning of the parable relates to this, still, it may be considered from another point of view. The mustard seed, the least of all the seeds, may also be seen as referring to the weak and insignificant of this world. The weak and insignificant who by God's grace and their efforts grow up, as it were, and become in a certain sense greater than the mighty of this world. And thus the parable of the mustard seed may be related to the words of St. Paul, words which he wrote in his first epistle to the Corinthians. But the weak things, wrote St. Paul, the weak things of this world hath God chosen that he may confound the strong. In other words, our divine Savior will use those who are weak, those who are, relatively speaking, insignificant and outnumbered, to overcome the mighty and those in high places. Perhaps the most renowned example of this fact occurred just about 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. At this time, the king of Israel was a man named Saul. Saul had gathered his army of Israelites to fight a pagan tribe called the Philistines. But unlike times past, this time the Israelites were afraid to fight the Philistines. They feared them, for the Philistines had a man who was not like other men. This man was a giant. He stood over 9 feet tall, and in his great hands he held an enormous spear. His name was Goliath. Goliath came out of the Philistine camp each morning and each evening, and he issued a challenge to the Israelites. Choose a man out of you, he said, and let him come down and fight me hand to hand. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, Goliath said, we will be servants to you. But if I prevail against him, you shall be servants and shall serve us. This went on for 40 days. Each morning and each evening, Goliath would come out and he would issue the same challenge to the Israelites. And hearing this challenge each day, Saul and the Israelites were filled more and more with dread and despair. They were absolutely and totally discouraged. One day, however, a shepherd boy, no more than 15 or 16 years old, came to the Israelite camp. His father had sent him to see how his soldier brothers were doing and to bring them some food from home. The boy's name, as I'm sure you know, was David. Now, while David was in the camp speaking with his older brothers, Goliath came out of the Philistine camp. And again, he challenged the soldiers of Israel. This time, David heard, and he was filled with holy indignation. Who is this Philistine, David asked, that he should defy the living God? Who is he? In other words, who does he think he is, that he would defy the armies of the living God? David then decided that he would fight Goliath. And hearing of David's desire to fight, Saul sent for him. And he tried to explain to the young David that he was no match for the Philistine. Thou art not able to withstand this Philistine, Saul said, for thou art but a boy. But David was brave. He looked courageously into the eyes of Saul, and he answered him with these words: I have killed a lion, and I have killed a bear with only my hands. and the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine." Seeing the unbounded confidence in God and the bravery of this boy, Saul agreed to let him fight, and he even dressed David in his own royal armor. But the armor was too heavy for David. And so, wearing the simple garb of a shepherd and carrying his staff, David went down to the stream where he collected 5 smooth stones. He then placed these stones in his camel skin pouch, and armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, David went forth to meet Goliath. Now, when Goliath saw David coming, he was insulted. He took it as a mark of disrespect that the army of Israel would send a mere boy to fight him. And thus, as we read in sacred scripture, he mocked and he cursed David, and he taunted him. But David was unmoved by this threat. He proclaimed to Goliath in response to his threats these solemn words: "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, which thou hast defied this day. And the Lord will deliver thee into my hand," David continued, "and I will slay thee and take away thy head from thee, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." These words, as you can imagine, enraged Goliath. And so, raising his spear, he walked towards David. David directly ran at Goliath, and pulling out a single stone from his pouch, he cast it with his sling. The stone struck Goliath in the forehead, and with a loud groan, he tumbled to the ground, where he lay unconscious. David then hurried to the side of Goliath, and taking the large sword from the giant's side, he cut off his head. And thus it was that Goliath, mighty in the eyes of the world, was defeated at the hands of a mere boy. My dear friends, contrary to the modernists in the new church, contrary to the atheists and the skeptics out there, David's victory over Goliath was a real historical event. It was not some fable, some myth manufactured by the church to make us feel good. It really happened. And it is a powerful inspiration for us today. For in our day and age, Catholic people, that is, those who have the one true faith, they stand in the role of David. You know, we are like that tiny mustard seed spoken of by Christ in today's gospel. For sad to say, today the number of Catholics who have the true faith is, relatively speaking, very small, while the enemies of God and the Catholic faith are many. They form, as it were, a Goliath. A Goliath who each day, in one way or another, comes out and challenges us. A Goliath who each day, in one way or another, defies the living God. A Goliath who fights under the standard of Satan. I am referring to all those institutions, to all those evil men who are bent on destroying the Catholic faith and morality, and who are determined to remove God from society altogether. Francis and the hierarchy of the new church, for example. The corrupt politicians in our government. Certain media and entertainment outlets. And finally, the godless and atheistic professors and scientists in the universities and schools today, whose only goal, it would seem, is to lead our young people away from God and morality, and to destroy belief in God altogether. These people, these institutions, and those like them, these form the Goliath we face today. These are the so-called great of the world. And like Goliath of the Old Testament, this quote-unquote Goliath of the world, that is, these wicked men, they mock and they insult the Catholic Church and God's people, even as they defy God over and over again and raise their fists, as it were, to his face. We who have the one true faith, my dear friends, we must take these things to heart. Like David, we must realize that we can make a difference. We can overcome the wicked. By God's grace and our persevering efforts, we can help slay the Goliath of this world. Like the mustard seed in the parable, we are indeed small. In fact, in the grand scheme of things, we really are insignificant. But as our divine Savior said, when the mustard seed is grown up, it is greater than all, and becometh a tree. And thus, we must be ever mindful that just because there is a remnant, a mustard seed, if you will, of faithful Catholics, that things will get better. For a mustard seed alone, one that does not grow, is nothing. It is small. It remains insignificant. It must be a mustard seed that grows into a strong tree. And thus, the thing that will make a true difference in this world is not a remnant, not a mustard seed of good Catholics, but a remnant, a mustard seed of Catholics that grows to heroic and saintly Catholics. That's what will make a difference. Heroic and saintly Catholics who by their lives give glory to God and who strive to lead others to him by their good example. It is thus not enough, my dear friends, to verbally condemn the errors of the new church. It is not enough to condemn the crimes of this world. For when you think about it, how many Catholics there are who condemn the errors of the new church? How many Catholics there are who denounce the immorality and paganism of this world? And yet, sadly, how many Catholics, and yes, even how many traditional Catholics, how many there are who are lax in the practice of their God-given faith, and who put the pursuit of holiness on the back burner, so to speak, and make it their secondary priority. You know, Pope St. Pius X once said, and I believe I have mentioned this here before. St. Pius X once said, "In our time more than ever, the chief strength of the wicked lies in the cowardice and the weakness of easygoing Catholics." The chief strength of the wicked lies in the cowardice and the weakness of easygoing Catholics. If this was the case in the days of St. Pius X in the early 20th century, how much more are St. Pius X's words true today? It is therefore not enough to do the least. It is imperative that we do the most that we can. It does not matter how tarnished or how sinful our lives have been in the past, provided we have repented of them. What matters is what we do now going forward. What matters is that we begin today to seriously strive to become the saints we were born to be. Let us then endeavor to keep the commandments better than we ever have before. Let us, at all costs, avoid mortal sin and its occasions. Even as we strive to make progress in the practice of virtue, especially charity, patience, and purity. And finally, let us cultivate a filial, trustful devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Wearing her brown scapular faithfully every day, and praying her rosary devoutly every day. At times, my dear friends, we will struggle. We may even fail in some of these things. We may fall like St. Peter. St. Peter, who was the prince of the apostles, and whom Christ chose as the visible head of his church, but who fell so far as to actually deny his master three times. Like St. Peter, even though we fall, we must never give up. If we fall, we must, like him, get up and tell our Lord how sorry we are, and then continue in our quest to become saints. May we never forget, my dear friends, the example of the young David. In his fight with Goliath, he had no armor. He had no experience. He had no equipment. He was not battle-tested, nor was he trained to fight. But one thing he did have was confidence. Confidence not in himself as Goliath had, but confidence, great hope and trust in Almighty God. May we then go forth to battle the Goliath of this world with that same confidence, knowing that the day is coming when the wicked men in high places, and all the earth will know, as David said, all the earth will know that there is a God, and confident that if we become the saints we are called to be, if we strive day in and day out for that sanctity, then by God's grace and our efforts, we will make a difference in this world. We will make a difference in the lives of our family, our friends, and even strangers. And in the end, we will save our souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.